Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have with me my regular Wednesday co-host, Mr. David Scorpio. Hey, welcome, David.
Hello, Richard, and thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to our little talk, and we'll unlock the mysteries of the universe together today.
Absolutely. I was anticipating just the same. And yeah, it's been a little bit of time since we spoke. And so, yeah, how are you living, fellow media thug?
I'm sorry, you cut out. I couldn't hear you. What?
It's been a little bit of time since we talked. So how are you living, fellow media thug?
Oh, well, I'm hanging in there in this insane world. Sorry I couldn't be with you last week, but I'm here and ready to go. But, yeah, you know, living in the big city right now and enjoying the benefits of the lawlessness that our big cities are becoming now. Let's just say that.
Yes. And it's really remarkable as far as the amount that we're subjected to without much anyone blinking an eye around us. So, I mean, we have two different worlds. We go out there in the world and most people can seem like zombies compared to all which we cover on these broadcasts here in Radio Land, and you know, ain't nothing but a troll thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I will say this though: I do think that the average normie has become, you know, awoken from their slumber a little bit. Even, you know, I'll go up and talk to complete strangers when I'm out and about, and to say things that might sound odd to the average person, but you know, I'm getting less reaction from people like, "Oh, that sounds crazy," and I'm getting, you know, more people are kind of jumping right on board with the conspiratorial thinking. So I do think we're at an interesting time where the average normie is ripe to be harvested, let's say, in terms of you know, bringing them over to our side and our understanding of what's happening in the world. I do see a glimmer of hope there. I really do.
You might be right. I mean, I was noticing an article earlier this week with an economic analyst incorporating the word sheeple. So, I mean, that wasn't common. You know, you go back that 10, 20 years ago, for sure.
But, oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm also saying, too, that the distrust of the average, let's just say normie, to take another injection is at an all-time low. So I think that's another good sign. I think that the trust that was shattered as the result of Operation COVID Hoax is not going to be regained very easily by the, you know, the powers that be, the deep state, the Jews, because this vaccine is pretty much 100% Jewish if you look into the who invented it and, you know, its background, very, very kosher. And so I don't think that trust is going to be regained anytime soon. I really don't. And so I think these controllers are kind of against the wall, and I do think that they're planning another big event that I believe is going to come at the end of this year or at the beginning of next year. So that's what I really honestly see on the horizon.
Yes, no, I could speculate the same myself, and COVID did definitely irreparably break the illusion of many of the people around us. And I, well, of course, that economic analyst in his article, he, I'm sure, did not know well enough to credit William Cooper with coining the term sheeple. But nonetheless, he did incorporate it in his rant. His main point was that there could be a glimmer of hope in this economic crisis, an indicator, at least, of a growing awakeness, like we allude to here. He was pointing out how no matter how much we heard everyone in banking and government saying that the banks, the small banks are secure and the system is sound, that we've already seen a huge amount of people pulling their money out of the small banks. You know, and it's, you know, obviously it's a large percentage normies, you know, the lion's share of that is not people who are awake on a lot of these agendas. So it does show that, yes, yeah, people are less and less likely, not just COVID, but regarding the economic situations and anything else, really, from this moment forward, you could lead to believe. People will not believe what they're told anymore.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, Generation Z, I think there's they're very different than the millennials. And I from the young people I've talked to in that age group, they are much more predisposed to conspiratorial thinking than we might think. A lot of people like to bash the young people. They're clueless. You know, they're zombies. But no, actually, a lot of Generation Z kids, young adults are actually pretty up to speed with things. And I think it's the result of, you know, being force fed this ridiculous woke agenda to such an extreme that it's just sort of a natural, you know, human reaction to rebel against it. And so I think the Generation Z is going to be a wild card. I really do think that. So I think there's a lot of problems afoot for keeping the human herd in line. And, you know, combine that with, you know, let's be honest, a lot of people have directly or indirectly lost family members from this injection. You know, I talked to, like I said, I'll go up and talk to strangers. I've heard a lot of stories of people having extreme medical events. These events include death, apparently. And, you know, one of my aunts actually, I believe, just died from this injection. She went out to check on her cat a few days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, and basically just dropped dead, you know, and, you know, with no other, you know, health, serious health problems. So you know, to me, that's the screams of, you know, died suddenly, you know, just dropping dead from the injection. She was fully vaccinated and boosted. So, you know, that's actually touched my own family, and I've heard a lot of similar stories from people.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that on a personal level. Yeah, sorry to hear that. But, yeah, and I mean, we have had more information constantly coming out about the damage from these shots. Norway found in a study they recently did, Norway found a strong correlation in 31 separate EU nation states between the experimental shot uptake in 2021 and the excess deaths in 2022. And even the CDC now is admitting autism rates on the rise. You know, I mean, there's just so much I could go into if I gathered it all for one listing. But yeah, no, it is true that there's so many people now who's had someone in their lives directly affected by these shots, and it's made them question things with actual reference, you know, that they've been party to, that they know is not just something someone said out there they can't verify.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this injection, this idea of a vaccination, you know, really sort of went mainstream during the 1950s and the so-called polio outbreak. And, you know, the great genius, Jonas Salk, the Jewish scientist, developed the so-called vaccine. And they, you know, if you look at the story of polio, it's really interesting how, again, they use this huge fear tactic. You're going to be crippled. And if you look at all the pictures from that era when they're trying to push the vaccine, there's always a pair of crutches carefully placed into the scene as though it was a movie set to induce fear into the population to get people to take this shot. And of course, I believe that this polio vaccine actually resulted in tremendous amounts of cancer, you know, 30, 35 years later in people. And I really do believe that vaccines from the very beginning were a massive experiment on the human herd. And the ultimate goal was to sort of try to control the population and to actually put evolution, so-called, into reverse and to actually degrade human beings into a better slave creature. And so it's all one giant experiment on the human herd, and there's nothing good from it since the very beginning, not just this so-called COVID shot.
Absolutely. I can see this being a precedent for losing autonomy over your body. And I mean, we have so many international organizations now trying to, in so many ways. I mean, like the UN is trying to, they just had a meeting on water. They've had this yearly water conference for a while now, who knew? But they just had a 3-day conference last week, at the end of last week. I think it was a Wednesday through Friday, deciding that, you know, they're going to scrutinize control over every drop of water across the planet forget about national sovereignty, you know, forget about ethics. It's all about control. But of course the climate fear, you know, they want you to stop driving your car. You know, they want you to shower once a month so that there's equity with the people in third world countries who don't bathe. You know, you want as much fear of the carbon CO2 scam. Combustion engine ban is going to be has been formally approved in the EU. They're saying that by 2035 they'll ban all new vehicles which are combustion engines in the EU. And California, of course, is on the same course as Europe, you know, ahead of the rest of the U.S., kind of like how Sweden had always been ahead of much of the rest, much of Europe, with a lot of the social engineering in the past decade or two. But I mean, it's only if it did actually succeed without enough pushback. The plan is for most people to no longer own cars. I've been saying this for a while, and people don't seem to get it. But yeah, they may make eventually technology, better technology for the charging of batteries, cost efficiency. Right now, it costs way more to make these vehicles than what they get when they sell them. I think it was like over 200,000 is the figure I saw to make, and then like selling for to sell an $80,000 vehicle. I mean, like three times the cost. Something like that to make the electric vehicles from a lot of these companies than what they get able to sell them for, even at the inflated prices relative to combustion engines. Ford is the only one that has separate records of their electric vehicle sales than their other cars. I suppose most don't do that because they don't want to show how unprofitable it is right now. And a lot of these investors in the markets the world over with this green agenda psyop, they don't realize how it's all about control and not at all about profit, and how it would, and even if it were to be about profit, it would take decades for all of the mandates forcing people onto this scam for it to be the monopoly, you know, form.
Oh, absolutely. You're getting some kind of background noise there. Okay. You know, you covered a lot of things there, Richard, and look, let's be clear here. You know, let me be clear. The this entire green agenda is the ultimate power grab. It's the complete control of all natural resources. And yeah, these electric cars thing, they're just a giant scam. Absolutely. You know, I heard from a guy that's in the car business that the car companies like GM are actually forcing dealers to buy electric cars. You know, if they don't want them, they have to buy them or they're going to lose their contract with the car company. So the dealers don't want the cars because they don't sell well. People don't want to buy them because there's so many problems with them. And they actually do cost quite a bit more to recharge than a standard car. That they're trying to float this idea, it's cheaper if you buy an electric car. No, it's not. And also, you got to remember, too, electric cars burn through the tires really fast. So you're going to have to buy tires way more often because of the torque on the engine. They just rip through the tires, basically. And, of course, the whole... the disposal of these batteries is impossible. You can't recycle them. It's an absolute environmental disaster. The whole thing is a scam. And going back to your first point about water, that's another scam. This idea that there's this shortage of water. Well, we live on a water planet. You know, 70% of the Earth is actually covered by oceans. And the idea that, you know, the major rivers in the world are fed by rainwater and, you know, groundwater in you know, aquifers that are barely below ground is absurd. The rivers are fed from underground sources. There's tremendous amounts of water that could be tapped into. And it's funny how, you know, we don't really know what's going on beneath our feet in a lot of ways. We've, you know, human beings have only drilled down, you know, a few thousand feet into the earth. I think the deepest, Russia has the deepest wells, gas and oil wells in the world. I believe those are something like 25,000 feet, which isn't very deep when you think about the size of the Earth. And, of course, they've essentially tapped into a limitless source of gas and oil. And that's another secret they don't want us to know. So this idea that everything's a scarcity is totally bogus. It's a complete fraud. And that's the way they want to control us, is through this fear of shortage. Not enough water, not enough gas, you know, and here, use these ridiculous electric cars that, you know, if you want to actually charge your car, you're going to have to spend like $2,000 or $3,000 having your house wired and having one of those special chargers put into your house. Because otherwise, if you just put a standard plug into one of those electric cars, it takes 12 hours to charge. So the whole thing is ridiculous. It's designed to fail. And as you said, the ultimate goal is to have most people not having a car, because the electric grid won't even be able to handle the additional stress on the power usage if millions and millions of people start using electric cars. The whole thing's absolutely absurd.
And I was going to add to that what you just alluded to. After, of course, yes, not enough electricity either. You know, so we all have to make do with less. Not enough food. Can't forget that one either, right? You know, the plans with the buying up farms and GMOs and monopolizing big agri more and more. So, yes, scarcity is certainly engineered and artificial. But you've been talking about, you've gone into greater detail about just the myth of fossil fuels being termed that it's not, it doesn't originate in the form that people are told. It's virtually infinite supply. And like you mentioned, water as well. But the fuel sources underground are perhaps even more relevant regarding you know, informing people than water down there, because people should remember just how many options there can be for water. I mean, here in Florida, they have desalinization plants, I've learned, you know, and you could have that all over the world. You know, I mean, isn't the number one thing, if we're supposed to care about humanity, make sure everyone has enough water? Well, we have these oceans that we're living on. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my co-host for Wednesdays, Mr. David Scorpio. And scarcity is also in the economic zone. It's engineered. The notion of wealth, you know, being scarce, but, you know, huge disparity between rich and poor. The money creation is the, I don't know what's worse. I mean, the Federal Reserve, the nature of these private central banks, you know, creating money out of thin air, adding interest, which has not even been created. If someone were able to accumulate all and pay it back, that's number one. But number two is just the ability to continue printing more money. Out of nothing, devaluing everything in the process. And people don't, if people really understood that, you know, every time there's a bailout or every time there's a COVID pandemic relief or infrastructure bill or whatever, money is just being created out of thin air, and that you have to, that's why when you go to the grocery, every product is constantly reducing the amount inside the packages for the price, for the same price. People don't even catch that. They're so sly, usually, the companies that do it. But that's one of the easiest ways you can notice how, on a monthly basis, I mean, you know, every season, if you will, at least every 3 months or so, you can these days count on that. And I've taken to keeping an eye on it for quite a while, and I'm fascinated by how much it's constantly, accelerating, especially since the COVID relief money in 2020 to present, how much money printing has continued ever since at an exponential rate compared to in the past, really. And that we haven't even seen the full effects of that, honestly, yet. We've seen just the very beginning of it. And so it's going to happen a lot more exponentially in the beginning now, really, for the forthcoming months and years, David.
Oh, yeah. Shrinkflation is the term I've heard to describe this, which is, you know, the packaging gets smaller and the price goes up. That's essentially what is happening all the time. And, you know, as far as the money printing goes, it's amazing how, you know, it's an endless supply of money when it's an agenda item. So if one of these bogus banks that has been involved in all kinds of weird speculation and essentially money laundering, like Silicon Valley Bank, hey, no problem. We're going to bail that out. We got plenty of money for that. We got $150 billion to hand over to you to Ukraine for a pointless war that we should not be involved in. Hey, we got endless money for that. But we don't have money to do anything, like maybe to help people buy houses, get a down payment for houses or something like that. But there's no money for that. There's no money for the people at all. But if it's an agenda item, the money is limitless. And we see this illustrated over and over again.
I've been catching some shows I had missed from past months recently, and I had mentioned I plugged it a few times on the air the past week or so. I really liked that broadcast you did with Daryl Wayne on the Scorpio show, available at grism.blogspot.com, search term Scorpio. Daryl Wayne mentioning how much things have changed after 1500, for example, as one of the main points that I took home from that is just, you know, tying money to gold and the control of usury and, you know, not allowing it to exist unfettered were some of the primary things that changed with the shifting of empires from the Byzantine to the Turks, Ottoman Empire. But as far as gold, as what to tie the currency to, I mean, I'd have to say that that's perhaps maybe what, like the second best that we have seen as proven examples. And of course, labor, which Adolf Hitler did, being the best way to go.
Well, absolutely. Because the problem with gold right now is that there is 10 times the amount of paper gold and silver, for that matter, being traded on the stock market than actually exists. So the potential to manipulate the value of it is endless, as long as you have 10 times the amount of it floating around on paper that doesn't even exist.
Right.
It's really quite absurd.
And they didn't do that back then. Yeah, have gold paper contracts. Yeah.
No. Tying the value of money to labor is a great way to sort of short circuit the ability to manipulate the economy. And you know, we really are kind of in the end game here of so-called capitalism, where we're entering into an oligarchy and a monopoly. A monopolistic oligarchy is really what we're headed into here, if you look at it. Okay, and Operation COVID hoax, I believe, was more of an economic event than even a medical event.
I've been saying the same thing. Here, let's continue that on the other side, David.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Wednesday co-host, David Scorpio. And that is one thing that these Jewish elite private central bankers would have too much of a hard time with. Basically, it wouldn't be possible, that is, to create labor out of thin air. It just wouldn't work if they tried to tell people, here, we just created all this labor. Look, it's there with the rest of the work you're doing. And see, believe us, it's there. And, you know, you're guilty of hate speech and an anti-Semite if you disagree with that. So you better see it. You better see it there. Do you see it? Yes, I see it. Okay. You see, how many lights do you see? You know? But they would not be able to create labor out of thin air. They don't even want to do – they would – would never even dream of doing their own fair share of regular days, weeks, years worth of labor, you know, as an individual, and certainly I wouldn't settle for living the way most people do with the amount of wealth they have. Regardless, they would have to be put to death, is the point. And it's with the mentality these people have, there's really no reforming them. But you were, before the break, about to reference something that I have agreed with and been talking about since the COVID lockdowns as well, that Operation COVID hoax, as you so brilliantly referred to it, was more about economics than medical concerns all along, David.
Oh, yeah, it was. And because we saw so many small businesses go out of business because they didn't have access to magic Jew shekels to keep them operating. And, you know, miraculously, you could go into a big box store and not get COVID. But if you went into a small business, it was very dangerous and you might die any time. So, absolutely, it was an economic event. Also behind the scenes, you know, there was lots of consolidation of corporations merging, coming together. And so, again, it was sort of a magic trick where everybody was in fear, or a lot. I saw right through it. I'm sure many listeners did, too. Once you're in fear, then you lose your ability to think rationally. And that's the name of the game, is fear. They always want to have some threat that only the government can protect you from. That's the con job. That's the con game that's being played on us. And essentially, you know, look, this federal government has become essentially a criminal organization. That's really what it is now. And so that's what we're dealing with, guys.
And that has been confirmed, well, agreed upon by many analysts. It is completely true. The COVID lockdown pandemic relief money was the greatest single transfer of wealth in all of history. And of course it was from, well, it was to the people who were already the wealthiest. And it came from the rest of us in the form we described earlier, by devaluing the currency, by printing more. Everything becomes more expensive, and it's such a subtle, gradual boiling of the frog that people just don't quite get it. And it can take a while to catch up, as I've pointed out as well, and we're about to enter that catching up phase. The last year, the last 3 years as well. But so, yeah, I mean, what more is there to be said? I could touch more on the some of the headlines that have piqued my interest recently. I mean, like, there's a lot in economic, and most is just more of the same. Some is just designed for the investors, you know, so that stuff's just garbage, talking about when they're going to have a pivot and this and that. But Peter Schiff is saying this is a sequel to 2008, and like all sequels, it'll be worse than the original. He's also saying bank bailouts will devalue the dollar. Well, yeah, we've gone over that earlier in this broadcast, for that matter. There was another good one, though, well, a better take, some good, at least, ways of putting things recently from contributor to, this was another from Zero Hedge, but they said, even if the stock market holds up, something is going to have to break in a big way. And, you know, that certainly is true, a way of explaining it to people. And the central bankers are stuck between an inflation versus recession rock and a hard place at this point. Now, the fact is, I just don't care about how the bowels of the system works, he says. I don't need to care. All I need to know is that money creation as a method of solving recessions can't continue into perpetuity. The dollar amounts necessary for bailouts become astronomical too quickly, and inflation becomes a pressing issue. David.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, let's be honest here. They were actually hoping with Operation COVID hoax to create a new system. The plan was to crash the current system entirely and, you know, make these vaccine passports in order to function within the society. But the whole thing actually fell apart, and because they know that and there's no stopping the inflation. It's an absurd idea that if you increase interest rates, you're going to stop the inflation. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's not going to happen. All it's going to do is create stagflation. I've said that since the very beginning. It's going to ruin the economy. So they're just trying to find a new way to ruin the economy so they can bring in this new system, because the Operation COVID Hoax ultimately failed. As much damage as it did, it ultimately failed.
Yes, it did, but it seemed to set new precedents for bailout money creation for any and everything. I mean, you know, even infrastructure bill, you know, I mean, just any. And now what's developing with the a covering of larger banks and just, yeah, what was going to be another bailout, but won't be called a bailout for the banks this time. But
yeah, and just one thing, that, you know, the banks are not going to crash. This idea that all the banks are going to fail. No, what they're doing is they're actually just consolidating the banks. And so that in the end, there's only going to be a handful of banks left, because we're entering into a monopoly. They want a monopolistic oligarchy, and that's going to extend into everything. And I'm telling you right now, these corporations, the ownership of these major corporations, it's much smaller than we've been told. They're all owned by the same group. And that's why there's not any real competition anymore. That's why you have car companies that are actually losing money, as you pointed out earlier, creating electric cars and actually losing money, because we're not in a system any longer that is so-called capitalistic, where all these companies are competing for the dollar in market share. That's all just a fairy tale now for us to believe in as they transition into a completely new kind of system.
Although they are still trying to have unlimited growth for their power and pocketbooks.
Oh, absolutely. And look, you know, if they really wanted to stop inflation, one thing they would do is put a cap, actually stop all immigration temporarily, stop all of it. Because, of course, if you have more people going after the same number of goods, that's basic, you know, economics 101. You're going to have inflation, just that alone. And you add to the equation trillions and trillions of dollars of magic Jew shekels being printed up, beginning with Operation COVID Hoax. Trillions of dollars were spread around, and bank bailouts and just ridiculous spending bills. You know, it's already baked in the cake. There's no stopping inflation, no matter what they do.
And we just had an unscheduled meeting. Okay, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen convened a U.S. financial regulators unscheduled meeting. It was closed to the public. And that was reported from Disclosed TV on Twitter on the 24th of March. So, you know, it basically seemed to result in what you could expect at this point in the economic cycle, simply talking about, you know, what the best ways are to try to lie to the population about anything and everything economic, which is going on and which is about to happen, which they're about to try to pull off. And I shouldn't even say try, because who's going to question them as far as anything in corporate media or most exposure it gets out? But censorship, you know, I wanted to talk about that, and I see how far on the show we're already getting here. We have a lot of grants which have been revealed recently, federal grants showing horrific plans to censor Americans' speech. So with this growing awakeness we spoke about earlier in the show, there's a growing concern for big tech to have digital censorship more and more. Another headline on the similar: Congress is preparing a bipartisan Patriot Act sequel to completely destroy the internet as we know it. The Digital Iron Curtain, another headline that describes how the Restrict Act threatens to devastate privacy and crush free speech online. And what we've been hearing about WhatsApp private messages between people, we're even getting messed with. Well, that's Facebook owned, so people shouldn't be surprised about that. People are concerned about TikTok, even though it's funny because even AOC is complaining about that, because she realizes that TikTok is a powerful vehicle for mobilizing the unwashed young leftist masses they condition, David.
Well, it's funny how all these so-called conservatives are worried about national security now with TikTok. And, you know, people don't realize that every single Chinese company is directly connected to the Chinese government. I mean, they all operate at the pleasure of the Chinese government. And so, you know, anytime an American company goes to China to produce anything, they actually have to hand over the blueprints of whatever they're making to the Chinese government in order to open a factory. So the idea that, oh my God, China's a threat. Well, they should have thought about that, like, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But of course, this has all been part of the plan to ship over everything over to China. And I think the reason that TikTok is a threat now is that you've got 150 million users and there's no way to censor everyone. And they're very concerned about that. And look, as far as the censorship goes, the more they try to censor, the more the regime is going to be hated because no one buys into the idea of anti-Semitism anymore. It's pretty much out in the open. The Jews are running the show. Janet Yellen, all these Jews that are packed around the Biden administration, they're everywhere. It's no secret that the Jews run America right now. It's no longer a secret. So the idea that you're going to stop the knowledge through censorship, it's just going to make people hate the regime more. And the idea that, you know, this is all because, you know, a bunch of guys in Florida were handing out flyers. That's the reason why they're cracking down on free speech. No, it's a lot bigger than that. And but again, it's going to backfire. It will not work. There's no way to stop it. The internet's already gone too far. No matter what they do, there's going to be a way around it through some young techie. So it's all doomed to fail, and there's no way to put the genie back in the bottle. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Everyone knows it's the Jews now.
And the potential for free speech on the internet, you don't think that'll be squelched?
Well, I think they're going to try to, but you know, there's always a way around. It's like warfare. There's always a countermeasure to undo what they're trying to do. So if they wanted to stop internet, they should have done it a long time ago. It's already it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to do that. And again, the more they try, the more unpopular the regime is going to become, the more hated the federal government is going to become as they try to attempt these things.
And I have, yeah, no, I couldn't add anything. It's brilliantly said. A couple more topics to try to touch on. One article I caught my attention recently, a second Trump administration would create maximum polarization, it says. And, you know, I fully come to realize and formulate is that it couldn't hurt to have another Trump term, David, because it doesn't matter that he won't do anything. We know that already. I mean, he'll do a couple of little token things maybe, but by and large and for the most important agendas and these Jews who control us, both here as well as just international Jewry plans, including those of Israelis geopolitically, but in general, what he represents is white America, you know, and it includes a lot of racial realists who, even if they don't know it yet, are racial realists. And we can't hurt to have maximum polarization to encourage the flock to go down those rabbit holes further, just be confident in what they believe and stand for rather than, you know, hiding or allowing themselves to be conditioned, shamed into something else. So, I mean, who are you going to have who more represents, you know, white America and Caucasian culture, David, in the near future, who would run for president? And it just would symbolize and have enough of a following of the body of the percentage of the people in the country, you know, who represents something far more extreme in the necessary sense than what he actually is. So I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't think there'll be a second Trump administration. I don't even think Donald Trump's going to seriously run for president. I think it's going to be just a show. And honestly, I think the Republicans have become so bad that I actually don't think we're going to see another Republican president anytime soon, just because of the demographic shift and the ability to fix the elections. But I think Trump is just going to be a three-ring circus, and it's a great way to distract people and into a black hole. I don't think Trump is going to go anywhere. It's just a black hole now, and it's everyone to put their focus on a sinking ship, essentially, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if there were any chance, you know, of a racial independence once again of the of white people, it would be more likely to happen in America than in Europe at this point, with the amount of laws they have there and everything. And it just seems like, you know, to fuel that a little more, if there were any chance of it happening in future decades, couldn't hurt with the what Trump symbolized and could symbolize again for the people for a moment at least. But I mean, I'm black-pilled as much as you are. I mean, opening the show, you sounded rather rather positive, you know, white-pilled about you know, people are waking up to these things and that. But not really. So I think you're white-pilled, perhaps, if you dismiss white genocide and the racial component. But when you look at the racial situation we're up against, you can't help but be black-pilled on what you expect for the future in that regard, and therefore, unfortunately, the future of America and European culture in the process. And that's why racial realism is a term that really drives it home. You know, what's at stake here, David?
Absolutely. We're not going to vote our way out of this one, guys. We're not. And it's going to be up to enough people figuring out what's going on here and refusing to comply with all the new rules and regulations they're planning on bringing out, because they have to have our willingness to comply. That really is true. And without it, they're going to have to start cracking heads on the streets and locking people up. And it's going to get ugly. It's going to look bad. It's going to have very bad optics, let's say, if enough people simply refuse to comply. And I think that's going to be on the horizon very soon. I really do. But yeah, the upcoming demographic shift is terrible. You go to a Walmart and you walk around, and it's like, holy God, where am I? What country am I in? You know, hear all these weird languages and all these strange looking people that don't resemble anything to do with traditional America. And that's all, unfortunately, by design.
And one more topic to touch on here, the truth about the uprising in Israel. Chris Black had a good commentary. No one in the mainstream media, corporate media, I call it, will tell you this. The real conflict going on within within Jewry in Israel is not ideological, he says. Jews, whether in America or Israel, don't actually believe in liberal democracy. In the Israeli deep state, judiciary, intelligence, etc., all support Netanyahu's imperial and exterminationist ambitions. The turmoil is rooted in Netanyahu's belief that the U.S. is finished and no longer has the means to advance its interests globally. The Israeli deep state knows that even if this is true, they have no choice but to ride whatever waves America is causing out, because nobody, no superpower, is going to defer to them like this ever again. Both Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin likely understand that diaspora Jewry are behind attacks on their respective states. This explains why they are making Iran a key partner in their new alliance. If things continue on their current trajectory, Iran, its proxies, and the diplomatic, military, and economic aid provided by China and Russia to them will push Israel back to its 1948 borders or worse. They correctly see empowering Iran against Israel as the way to kick USA in the balls and cause chaos and fractures within the real global power structure. It seems to be working. Netanyahu wants to consolidate his power as dictator and be able to refuse Anthony Blinken's demands that they stop trading with China and support the Ukraine war. He knows Washington can't possibly fight Russia, China, and Iran at the same time and wants to hedge his bets. Bibi and company understand that their Jewish benefactors in the USA do not understand the gravity of the situation. But when all is said and done, there really aren't any good choices left for Israel or world Jewry more broadly. The only thing Israel has to offer to Russia and China is influence in the USA. Netanyahu wants to be dictator of Israel so he has the power to unilaterally sell U.S. military and political secrets, possibly even more, since the Israelis have Pegasus and spyware on all communications for Western leaders and likely a bottomless well of blackmail material at fire sale prices to China and Russia in hopes of getting some sort of short-term concession from them in the future. Jews in the U.S., West, and much of Israel don't want this because they're under the impression that they can take on the world and win. of course, in public, the ADL, WJC, AJC, etc., all close ranks and express unconditional support no matter what Israel does. But behind the scenes, the Israelis are likely asking Israeli agents Anthony Blinken, Greenblatt, etc., why American Jews are sending all of NATO's weapons to Ukraine and pushing China, Iran, Russia together when they need the Atlantist butt-goys fresh and armed for a clash with Iran. David, any response with the time remaining?
Well, that's an interesting take. I don't know if I agree with all of it. I'd have to look into some of those claims more, but look, this is why Ukraine is so important. It's going to be a de facto Israel 2.0 and is situated, you know, right there on the border with Russia, nearby China, and has access to a whole bunch of Eastern European countries that really are not on board with the Jew agenda. So I think some of that's correct. I'd have to look into that a little more deeply before I could fully comment. But that's an interesting take. I don't think I agree with all of it, though. I think Anthony Blinken and Benjamin Netanyahu are actually on the same page. And it's, I don't believe that that's what's really going on.
Well, no, that would be good to discuss on a further show then. And I mean, I don't necessarily believe every word of an article just because I choose to read it on air, but I think it was Chris Black had a good enough analysis there, worth hearing his points on the air at least.
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah, it's an interesting take. I'd like to look into it further before I fully comment. That is an interesting take.
Yeah, no, I just shared the article with you now, and maybe we could discuss it later on a panel or on a Wednesday. But well, yeah, it looks like we're just about out of time here. I believe we'll get to any callers today. So any last points then you want to make, David, or anything else you wanted to plug?
Well, I hope you have Adam Green on the show soon, Richard. No, actually, really good show. I thought we covered a lot of interesting topics. And, you know, I think this thing in Ukraine is going to actually come to a head very soon. They're not finished. It's funny how Russia's about to win. Every couple of weeks you hear that, this is it, it's over, Russia's about to win, they're wrapping it up. But it never seems to happen. So I think what's going on there is much different than what we're being told. The game that's being played there is actually very different than what most people think. So keep your eyes on Ukraine. I don't think that's anywhere close to over yet.
Oh, well said. Well, thank you, as always. Very much appreciated. Your discussion here today.
All right. Thanks for having me, Richard. Appreciate it. Everyone, take care out there.
Yes. And folks, you can check out more of David Scorpio again at grism.blogspot.com. Search term Scorpio for his brilliant analysis. Please support RBN, folks. We need a new mix board. And you can go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate page. But we really need new equipment, and it's dire that you help us out right now. And that being said, if you can keep us going, we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Did you know that essential oils have had a...
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.